What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Boss Man Show here with my good friend and brother Ryan Ritter, Mercer Bears head coach. Saw him this weekend at our recruiting, man. Good to see you as always, brother. How are things going with you, man?
Man, great to see you. Obviously, it's good to be out this weekend, see some young guys hooping. But things are good, man. We're full out summer goal or going pretty hard our 8 weeks of the summer workouts, and things are good, man.
I know you're for the home, but all those guys from JUCO, man, knowing that's your roots, man. I know you said how hard it feels to be those young men, those 2027 guys, man. So talk about being back in your roots, man, seeing guys and coaches you coached against when you was in JUCO, man.
Yeah, it was good. I was out at the junior college event this weekend, and obviously we've got a really good junior college flavor on our roster. We've got five guys that got that background. So I'm just trying to touch all our bases. You know, we want to recruit high school kids, want to recruit JUCO, want to recruit the portal, and we've had some really talented guys come through from the JUCO ranks, so definitely trying to get in there early and hopefully try to find a way to get some of those guys to be Bears.
And Ryan, what's crazy about this new world we're in, man, is that hey, you kind of recruit a high school guy above your level for a little while because they're getting screwed, especially with this 5-5 thing coming as well.
Well, I think it's not even just high school guys, to be honest, JR. We're trying to recruit guys above our level every year, and I think that's been the success of our programs. We've had really good players in here. We get them to play together, and but yeah, I think you're right, that 5-5, with all the I guess the uncertainty, you can definitely find a guy or two from all different ranks and try to find them a way for them to be successful in your program.
No doubt, man. I'll throw this out there. When assistant coaches, man, are going to be doing coaching in the Bahamas, man. So how cool is it for having assistant coaches to come back to the experience in FIBA, been an assistant and bringing back to you guys this year, maybe help you out going forward?
Man, it's great. And obviously, you're talking about Nashad Mackey is now an assistant with us here at Mercer, but really cool, man. He actually played for me in junior college, played for my dad at the four-year level, and then coached with me at UT Martin. And so he's been really influential. Second time working, I believe, with the Bahamian national team. And so just to listen to him the last couple days of his experiences for the 2 weeks he was there, getting to work with NBA guys and kind of seeing the way how they attack their daily habits. Really good for him to bring that experience back to our guys and hopefully bestow some wisdom on them.
No doubt, man. And I was going to tell you, congrats on your extension, man, to 2031, man. So talk about knowing your administration who's really behind you, what you're trying to build here in your culture, knowing they believe in what you're doing here.
Yeah, I think that's obviously as a coach, man, that's super, super important that you got admin that believes in you. You've got an AD, you've got a president that understands the direction that we're trying to take this program. And So obviously thankful, you know, in March, we kind of worked towards it. And I think we officially got it done in June. So got us locked in here 5 years and feel really good about the baseline that we've created and hopefully continue to raise that thing.
No doubt, man. What I say when I come on your campus every time, man, is how it's grown, how it's something new. So being there every day, man, seeing how much money's being put in this university, resources being put into it, and just talk about that every day, don't come to work knowing that this school is trying to grow and expand and build and develop every day.
Well, I think that's what you want as a coach. You know, you want people that bought under your vision, and Mercer does a great job. You know, we've got a really good basketball program, we've got a really good academic program, and when you blend those two together, you know, you have a chance to create something special. And so, you know, for us, you know, Mercer's continuing to raise our resources, continuing to give us opportunities to be successful in a really competitive Southern Conference.
Man, talk about that Southern Conference, man. It's definitely competitive. And one of your rivals from the OVC, Chelsea Tech's coming in there and there with Tobin. So just talk about the depth of your conference from up and down, how it will be no easy nights, especially that second time through the conference. It's going to be tough for you guys because the coaching is so good.
Yeah, it is really a premier mid-major league. You know, I think if you just look at the parity the last 2 years, you know, the sixth seed in the tournament, both the last 2 years have gone on to the NCAA tournament. Obviously, Furman last year, Wofford the year before. And, you know, if Furman's going to be a sixth seed in your league and have an opportunity to take UConn late in the game, that's a pretty dang good league you're competing in. So a lot of respect for, you know, Coach Tobin Anderson, obviously Tennessee Tech joining the league. But, you know, there's just a plethora of good coaches, teams. You know, I think if you pick out of a hat when you get to Asheville, I think you got a better chance of picking the winner than trying to understand who's going to win that tournament.
Oh, 100%, man. And I look at your roster, right? Man, a lot of international flavor on your roster. Talk about how you like to get the international kids, man, into your program, man, and how they bring that level. So playing some professional ball before they get to college, it really helped their experience on the court. So you don't have so much of that teaching so much. They kind of know how to play a little bit for you.
Yeah, I mean, we've got guys from all different walks of life. Obviously, you know, we've got junior college, high school, Division II, Division I, international. So, you know, for us, it is funny. We've got quite a few internationals this year. It wasn't necessary by design. It just, as you really evaluate your roster and what you need, these guys kind of came to the forefront. Obviously, we're talking about an era where money's part of the equation as well. So, you know, I think we did a really good job of targeting guys that fit our university but fit our budget. And you know, I'm super excited to welcome a lot of these guys here.
I've been watching your Instagram, man. The guys working out, getting in the gym a little bit there. So, with having a new team coach every year, Ryan, how much do you decide how much am I going to go offensive in the summertime or defense or a little bit of both for this skill work? So, how's that balance for you trying to figure out the right mesh for the group you have each year in the summertime?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think everybody does it different. I think for us, you know, we're trying to create a standard, and it's not necessarily exactly about offense or defense. You know, we're trying to explain to the guys what's important to our program, and that's waking up and it's being tough together and unselfish every day. And obviously, we want to put some offensive concepts in. We want to put some defensive philosophies in. But, you know, the truth is we want these guys to come here. We want them to get better. We want them to understand who their teammates are. We want them to walk out of here after, you know, 6, 7, or 8 weeks and say, hey, I got stronger. I got better basketball-wise. I understand who my teammates are and what is the standard that is required of us every day. And if we do that, going into August, feel like we've had a really productive summer.
And you know what, the workouts, Ryan, talk about the weight room. You have to build that body up now for that long grind through hopefully April, man. So talk about that. Teach on them about how to eat right, sleep right now, and really put in the work on their body because you don't really need it. So don't get those little nagging injuries that we all hate that don't go away to slow you down during the season.
Yeah, it's a premier part of our program. We had a really good strength coach last year. He had an opportunity to move on. We just hired a young guy that was an assistant at Duke University last year with their men's basketball team. So it's something that we put resources into. It's something we believe in. We like to play with physicality. So our strength conditioning program is huge to the development of our guys. You know, they're in there 4 days a week. They're working on their bodies, but not just with weights, but what they put into their system. We're really intentional with how we treat that area of our program, and it's a really high priority for us.
No doubt, man. It's very important, like you said, man. And also, man, I want to ask you about this as well. The camaraderie is time of year because you're pretty much only people on campus right now. Football's kind of get back into town as well. So about building that camaraderie with the guys so they, when those adversity hits, which you know will hit eventually, they'll be together and they're not fractured.
Yeah, well, I always say this: if it's July, and if you don't like your team now, then you're going to have some issues because you know, summer is just a great time of us being together. You know, we've got about 20 plus people in our program, and really, you know, I hit on it, but the standard of our program, the things we want to get done this summer, a big portion of that is just you're almost speed dating. You know, we're getting to know these guys, and they're getting to know us in the span of 8 weeks, and we've got to cultivate and create relationships with them. They've got to create it with each other. And, you know, some of that's done on the floor, but some of it's done off the floor, whether it's, you know, team bonding events, whether it's just hanging in the apartments, whether it's going to watch a game. But I think the better that we can be in the summer, getting to know the ins and outs, doesn't mean that you love every single aspect of every single guy, but it means you respect it and you understand how guys want to be coached, how they're how to get the most out of them. And I think for our guys as well, figuring out how to play with guys, figuring out well, you know, what they like to do off the court, and really developing the relationships as quickly as we can, because this team's only got 9 or 10 months together, and then some guys are going to go a different way, some guys are going to go a different way. And the truth is, you know, we've got 9 or 10 months with these guys. We've got to maximize that time, and summer is a huge, you know, front doorstep to integrating them together.
Now, I saw on Instagram you all played kickball. It took me back, man, to elementary school when I would kick the ball over the fence and hit buildings, hit cars, playing kickball, man. So how fun was it to bring that little kid out, those young men, to get and play some kickball, man? That was fun to see, man.
Man, I wish you didn't ask me about that, JR. We had a blast. We played a 9-inning game. We split it up evenly. It was, you know, bottom of the ninth. It was 1-1. We had a very competitive but fun day. Unfortunately, I am 41 years old, and I went to kick that ball pretty hard, and I may have ruptured a groin, so I may be on the IR for kickball for a while, but. Man, it's events like that. The guys had a blast. You know, we'll do some different things. We'll play paintball. We'll take them different areas, have them involved in some volunteering stuff. But kickball was a blast up until about the last out of the day a couple weeks ago.
I hear that. I get it. Man, I understand, man. I might be behind you, brother. 40. So I guess it's not the same anymore, man. It's not the same.
Going fast.
Yes, it is, man. We're getting old, man. We're getting old. We're getting old. Yes, man. So, Ron, I'm going to ask you questions from my interns now, because they, unfortunately, people, they couldn't be here due to technical difficulties, but they'll be down the road. So, Ryan, first one they got one me to ask you was, how do you go about integrating the student athlete into your program and letting them know about who you are as they trust you to coach them for how long ever they're with you?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think that it really starts in the recruiting process. And we're big on building genuine relationships. And obviously, some of these guys were recruited a long span. Some of these guys were recruited for a couple weeks. But I'm big on, you know, underselling and over-delivering. I'd much rather tell a kid the truth on the front end, and he gets here, and it is what we say it is, rather than, you know, you're tricking guys and maybe making some false promises. Then they get here, and it's not what you say it is. So for us, it really – the relationship building starts in the recruiting process, and kind of like I mentioned earlier, when they get here, it is speed dating. You know, you're trying to build relationships, knowing that this particular team only has 10 months. So it's individual meetings. It's meeting them where they are. It's getting them out of their comfort zone. You know, it's understanding things about them, really more so off the court, because I think at the end of the day, we're going to be in the gym. We're going to sweat with them. They're going to understand that hey, we have an experience that can help them on the court. But I think when you develop that core relationship off the court, I think you get a little bit more out of these guys.
And the second one they have, Ron, is this: as a coach, how do you go about getting the student athlete to accept their role, especially the ones who don't play as much or outside of your normal rotation?
Well, I think, again, that starts in recruiting. And you can't guarantee guys things that you can't that you can't provide. And so for us, you know, not everyone's recruited the same way. You know, we tell guys, hey, in our best opinion, this is where we see you fitting in our roster. And some guys don't like it and they don't come here. And that's okay. But I think when they guys get on campus, it really is having honest conversations and saying, hey, listen, for the 2 hours or 3 hours we're together, you know, everything's going to be about Mercer. Everything we're telling you is in the best interest of Mercer. May not be in the best interest of me. It may not be in the best interest of you. But at the end of the day, for those 2 to 3 hours, everything is about Mercer. And then those other 23 hours, 22 hours, hey, we're here for you. We can serve as a big brother. We can serve as a mentor. We can serve as whatever you need. But for those particular 2 to 3 hours, when it comes to basketball, it will always be about what's best for Mercer. And I think We've had a really, we've done a really good job of identifying roles early on in recruiting. And so when we get here, the transition, there's not a lot of unrealistic expectations.
So it kind of leads us in that the third question is about this, Ryan. It says, how do you go about helping a student athlete who may have mental challenges and off the court, knowing that the primary thing is basketball, but really helping them as a person off the court if they're having issues mentally or with their family?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, we got to be real with our guys. And there's going to be ups and downs in college basketball. There's going to be ups and downs in life. And that's the beautiful thing about our game. It really does parallel, you know, the different – different paths in life. And so, you know, obviously if there's a serious mental issue, then we've got to seek professional help. We've got people that can help us in that area. But if it's just you know, the hurdles and the peaks and valleys of a season or a year, then you know, we've got a tremendous staff that is, you know, to work with us. I'm not saying you have to be the best basketball coach, but you got to wake up every day and you got to want to impact young people. And if you don't do that, then you can't be on the Mercer men's basketball staff. Now, I think we've got some great basketball coaches, but I know we've got some great people. And so I think, you know, for us, navigating the daily life of, man, you know, my girlfriend broke up with me. I failed a test. I'm not getting the playing time I wanted. Versus I've had 2 great weeks. I was player of the week, and now I'm starting to feel myself a little bit. I think we've got a tremendous staff, from our strength coach to our GAs, to our assistants, that guys can really get the truth. They can get empathy. They can, they can get reassurance. And for us, you know, it's just about building that genuineness where they feel comfortable and confident that they can tell us, they can come to us when things are good or bad.
It says, okay, as college students, we struggle with time management. So your players have basketball on top of going to school. So how do you help your players with time management, with basketball being a priority for them and also being a student as well, so they don't lose track of their day?
Well, I do think that's one thing we do really well, JR. We're very efficient in our days. You know, I talk to our staff about we're competing for brain space. And when you're 18 to 22 years old, and really anybody, but there's a lot of different avenues that brain can wander. There's a lot of people that want a piece of your time. There's social media. There's, academics. There's social stuff. There's basketball. So we are fighting for brain space. So we are very diligent in what we ask our guys to do. We're very efficient. We don't waste people's time. And I think for that, we have a very organized day-by-day schedule, week-by-week, but also month-by-month. And so when our guys look on the calendar and they can see 3 months from now, here's what the schedule looks like, but they also can say, hey, here's my daily snapshot. And there's built-in time for freedom. You know, there's built-in time for flexibility. But at the end of the day, it is a very organized approach that doesn't take all day, but we're very efficient in when we ask our guys and when we demand them to do certain things.
And the fifth one they have here, Ron, is this. It says, so with us student athletes now receiving NIL, how do you help student athletes manage their money, so as far as taxes, budgeting, and things of that nature, so we don't go broke and be in debt after we leave college?
Well, it's a great question. And, for us, we're not in a spot right now where there is going to be a ton of tax implications if we're not managing our money correctly. Now, we're obviously active in the NIL space. But, you know, the truth is, a lot of these guys that we've recruited this particular year, they have some great family. They have great people around them. They have great mentors that are going to help that. But at the same time, we take time to educate these guys on, here's the money that you are receiving. Here's what will be taxable. Here's the process that you need to do to start making sure that you're squared away at the end of the year. So there's definitely built-in opportunities for us to help. But, give these guys and their people around them a lot of credit. They've got some really great mentors around them, really great family that can help with, you know, that couple extra bucks they're getting a month, that can help start a nest egg. They can help them with a down payment on a car, on a car payment. So, again, we're not probably in that space yet where we're, maybe going to get in some trouble if we don't file our taxes. But we are very active in helping these guys understand that dollar figure isn't necessarily what you're getting. You've got to look at that dollars after taxes.
They have two more for you, Ron. It says, we see you come from a basketball family. Your dad's a coach, your brother's a coach, and you're a coach. But outside of basketball, what does Coach Ritter love to do? That's what they ask.
Yeah, so my faith, my family is super important to me. I'm married. I got 3 young daughters. If I'm not in the office, I'm not coaching hoops. I'm probably doing something with them. Love to be with my family. Love to travel with them, create experiences. And then the rare times that I do, if I could get out there and play a little golf, man, those that's probably my biggest thing. Family experiences with them, and then playing a little bit of golf when I get a chance.
No doubt. And the last one they have for you is this. If you was not a basketball coach, Coach Ritter, what would your career be?
That's a really good question. Man, I really don't know. Kind of grew up in it. It's what I always thought I'd be doing. Probably some type of, I love leading. I love impacting people. So I don't know that I would be able to sit at a desk job. And, I've got a bunch of guys, a bunch of friends grow up with making a ton of money and doing some things that they're probably financially very happy with. But I don't know. I think it'd have to be still something with young people. Something where I'm helping lead, I'm helping manage, I'm helping getting the most out of people. But that's a good question. I'll be honest, I never really thought about it. This is what I want to do. This is what I've been fortunate to do, and hopefully I don't have to figure out some other profession.
Hey man, they need a hell of a job, man. Those are the questions.
Great questions.
I'm worried about my job now, man.
Hey, they coming for you, man. They're coming for you.
Yes, indeed. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for answering the questions, man. I thank you so much for doing this, man. Great to see you as always, my brother. And I'll be cheering for you throughout the year. To hope you go to big dance this year, man.
You're the man. Great talk with you. Good to see you.
See you. Thank you, brother, as always.
All right, man. We'll see you.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.